Life Audio.
Hello. Thank you for listening to Your Daily Bible Verse, the podcast that examines one verse each day to learn more about God and His will for us. I'm your host, Jennifer Slattery, and after this short word from our sponsor, we'll dive in to today's Bible verse, Matthew 4:3.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Today's Bible verse is Matthew 4:3. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Now, you may have heard sermons or discussions on the events surrounding today's verse. Before Jesus officially began his earthly ministry, the Bible tells us the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. But first, he fasted for 40 days and nights, and so he was hungry, or more like starving. And that was when Jesus was in a weakened state, that Satan, his spiritual enemy and ours, attacked him. And he did so by attacking Christ's identity. "If you are the Son of God," he said in verse 3, "tell these stones to become bread." Then in verse 6, taking him to the highest point of the temple, Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he," and that's meaning God, "will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." If you've heard or read discussions on this passage before, you might have learned how Satan attacks us when we're weak, when we're maybe tired, when we're hungry, discouraged, or distracted. You might also have learned how to use our most powerful offensive spiritual weapon, Scripture, to fight back. And those are important truths to hold tight to and to learn to apply. But today I want to look at how our enemy tries to attack who we are, as he did with Jesus. If you really are who you say you are, prove it. Do a miracle. If you're really God's beloved son, prove it. Do something dangerous, and let's see what your father does and how quickly he responds. Satan uses the same tactics with us. If you were really God's beloved child, you wouldn't be suffering like this. He would have given you that promotion, not Bill, not Janice. Have you noticed how blessed they always are? Obviously, God loves them, but not you. No, you're rejected. You're unseen. Or if you're battling mental illness, your enemy might whisper lies like, "If you were really God's chosen, redeemed, and empowered child, you wouldn't struggle with depression or anxiety. You wouldn't struggle with fear. You wouldn't still be fighting those sinful tendencies. No, you're a fraud. You're rejected. You're insufficient." Consider how many of our temptations, our anxieties, and frustrations come from feeling like we must prove ourselves, our intelligence, our competency, to prove that we're a good mom or a good wife, that we're the one with the authority to lead our team or our ministry or maybe our church. If he can get us to believe him, to begin to doubt who we are in Jesus and who we are to Jesus, then our enemy can begin to weaken our hearts and ultimately impact our actions. If he can get us to feel deprived and ignored, we might grow bitter and we might begin to fight for what we think we deserve, even if that means causing someone else pain. Or when in social situations, instead of focusing on others in love, we'll feel driven to boast about all of our accomplishments in an effort to prove to everyone and ourselves that we're not the failures that Satan claims we are. When we feel rejected, we're also much more apt to view casual comments as an offense, which in turn triggers our defense mechanisms, which tend to drive others away, which we then take as proof of the lie, which leads to more defensive behavior. And this is a problem for numerous reasons. First, we in essence forfeit the joy, the peace, and the emotional and spiritual freedom that Christ died to give us. And we allow Satan to do what he's been wanting to do all along, to steal, kill, and destroy every beautiful and life-giving gift that God has given us through Christ. Second, we distort his image. Third, we lose or forfeit a lot of our impact. You see, the joy, the peace and the confidence of Jesus, when experienced, it provides such powerful evidence for the gospel. Those spiritual gifts are enticing and contagious, especially when others see us display those qualities in situations in which we should be anything but joyful or at peace. That type of spirit-infused life sparks curiosity and a soul-deep longing within those who don't yet know God, drawing them through his spirit to him, the life-giver. We're also less apt to get offended, to go on the defensive. We're more able to love freely without expectation or hesitation. We're also much less apt to engage in drama or with toxic people. Did you notice how Jesus responded to Satan's tactics? Did you notice what he did and didn't do? Yes, he used truth again and again, and each time scripture proved effective, Satan dropped the matter and tried to defeat Jesus another way, and then another, and then another. But did you also notice what Jesus didn't do? He didn't try to prove who he was. He wasn't like, "Shut up, Satan, I am the Son of God, the one the Old Testament prophets proclaimed," listing all the prophecies that he'd already fulfilled. He didn't do that because he didn't need to. He knew who he was, and nothing Satan did or said could change that. We need to know in the depths of our soul who we are as well. You and I are loved by God. We are chosen, redeemed, adopted, and sufficiently empowered children of the King of Kings, Almighty Creator God. Those truths are the truest things about us, and anything that contradicts those truths is a lie. A lie to be captured and tossed aside, not mulled over and fed. And we need to take our insecurities seriously. We need to fight them with truth for our sake and for the sake of our relationships and for the sake of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us so deeply. Thank you for choosing us and for redeeming us through your Son. We are not rejected. We are not insufficient or unseen. We are loved. We are chosen, empowered, and called for eternal impact. When lies begin to fill our heads, when they cause us to doubt who we are to you and who we are in Jesus Christ, your Son, give us the strength and the wisdom to cast them out. And step by step, day by day, lead us to greater confidence, to the assurance that is befitting a deeply loved child of God. Help us to recognize all the ways our failure to fully see ourselves as you see us negatively affects our behavior and our relationships. Alert us so that you can free us. Show us the roots of our insecurities. Help us to heal from wounds that cause those soul-deep deceptions to form, and flood our souls with the boldness, the peace, and the joy that can only come from you. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Your Daily Bible Verse, a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed this episode, would you leave us a rating and review in your favorite podcast app? It helps us connect to more listeners like you. This episode was produced by Kelly Givens and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. We want to thank our wonderful hosts, Jennifer Slattery and Grace Fox. You can hear more from Jennifer by visiting JenniferSlatteryLivesOutLoud.com. And you can find out more from Grace by visiting GraceFox.com. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit LifeAudio.com.
Christmas. For most kids, it's the most joyful time of the year. But this Christmas, 1.5 million children will spend the holiday separated from a parent because their mom or dad is behind bars. Prison Fellowship Angel Tree needs churches in our communities to volunteer to bless local children with a gift, the gospel, and a loving message from their parent. I believe this is an incredible opportunity for our listeners to share the love of Jesus this Christmas. Many of Prison Fellowship's partner churches continue ministry to local Angel Tree families after Christmas is over. Through this ongoing care, Prison Fellowship Angel Tree strengthens and encourages families every day. Angel Tree wouldn't be possible without the help of faithful volunteers. If you're ready to make an eternal impact in your community, please register today at angeltree.org/church. That's angeltree.org/church.
Miracles are everywhere.
Let our adventure begin!
Discover PureFlix, your premium streaming service where faith and family values come home.
Ready to have some fun?
The most exclusive selection of quality, wholesome movies and series that will uplift your spirit.
A man can argue whether God exists, but when he looks at his daughters, he knows.
With new arrivals every week.
Unbelievable.
Save big and enjoy the possibilities, like invitations to exclusive theatrical screenings.
I see it, so I believe it.
Find out more by joining today at PureFlix.com.
Hello, my name is Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we're the host of Life After Addiction Podcast. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, check us out, Life After Addiction Podcast, and you can subscribe at lifeaudio.com.